This is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cass here on Your Public Radio. I'm Nathan Sterner. And yes, I am drinking coffee, as I very often am. My workday at WYPR starts around 4 a.m., and for me, coffee is an essential part of that day. The chemical in coffee that gets me going is caffeine. And new research shows that caffeine is not just a stimulant, it's also what scientists call a cognition enhancer. That is, caffeine can boost your memory. Dr. Michael Yassa led the team that conducted this study while he worked at Johns Hopkins. Yassa is now an assistant professor in the Department of Neurobiology and Behavior at the University of California, Irvine, and he joined me back in January to talk about his research. Your study shows that caffeine can strengthen people's memory. Exactly how did you do this study?
Right. So the first thing that we did was bring in people on the first day to study some material that we designed for them. These were pictures of everyday items that they saw on a computer screen one by one. And they were simply asked to look at these pictures and tell us for each one if it was a picture of an indoor or an outdoor item. And in reality, we didn't care so much if it was indoor or outdoor. We just wanted them to study the material to the best of their ability. And these were typical everyday kinds of objects, like a picture of a telephone, a coffee mug, an office chair, and so on. And then we either gave them a caffeine pill, 200 milligrams, or a placebo, and then we sent them back home. And we brought them back the next day, and we gave them a memory test 24 hours later. And that memory test involved showing them some similar images to the ones they've seen before. Some of those images were identical to the ones they saw. Some were completely new, and some were only similar, but not identical to the ones they saw. So, for example, if on the first day I showed them a picture of a coffee mug, the second day they would see a picture of a slightly rotated or a different angle of that same coffee mug, or perhaps a different color coffee mug. And what we found was that the individuals that were administered caffeine as compared to the placebo were actually better at discriminating those items from the ones they saw. So they were better at saying, wait a minute, this is similar to something I saw yesterday, but it's not identical. And it tells us something very important about their memory. It tells us that the degree of detail by which they were able to store that original memory was better.
The person without caffeine would see a telephone both times, and even though it's a slightly different telephone the second time, they wouldn't notice. But the caffeinated person would remember exactly how that telephone was situated in the first image and be able to tell that it's not exactly the same picture the second time.
Precisely.
And part of what matters here is the short-term memory versus long-term memory. This is extremely oversimplified, but basically our brains store short-term memories and long-term memories in different ways, right?
Correct.
So the person who got caffeine ends up doing a better job of transferring more information from the short-term memory stack to the long-term memory stack.
That's a good way to look at it. So we think of this as a process that we call consolidation, or the process of strengthening or laying down memories such that they can be used at a later time. So for example, if I were to give you a phone number right now and ask you to just hold on to that in your memory for a few seconds before you have to dial it, you might say it to yourself a few times, rehearse it, and then once you dial it, that number seemingly disappears. So that number was in your short-term memory while it was being worked on or used, and now it's no longer being used and it doesn't need to be in long-term memory. But the kinds of things that we give them, the kinds of memories that we try to get them to encode, are very similar to everyday kinds of memories that we lay down. It's what we call episodic memories. It's memories for things that happen to you as you're going about your life, things that you learn. And those are often stored, a large quantity of them are often stored with a long-term use in mind. So this is useful information that you hopefully will use in the future. And even though we didn't tell them that they had to study this for a test, they had no idea they were going to get tested the next day. Our memory does this sort of naturally. It just assumes that anything that's novel to you is going to become useful at a later time.
And the caffeine made a little bit more of that information last longer.
Exactly.
You gave them the caffeine after they saw the images rather than before. What was the reason for that?
Right. So that's one of the most interesting features of the study, and it's actually very, very different from the past work that's been done on caffeine. Now, caffeine does have some well-known cognitive enhancing effects. So we know that it enhances your attention, enhances your alertness, your focus, your vigilance. And one of the questions that we wanted to ask here is whether it has an effect directly on memory, even after controlling for all of those other factors. Now, the only way to be able to do that is to, instead of administering it before, like you normally would, you administer it after the learning has happened. So you assume that now you're controlling for all of the other variables. And if you get an enhancement, it's only because caffeine had an effect on memory.
If you had given them the caffeine before, they might have been more alert, more attentive,
that's
and that might have contributed.
Exactly right.
Exactly. Would giving them the caffeine before do anything to not create this sort of memory enhancing effect? Would it still work?
I don't think so. I think it would still work. You might even get a bigger boost because now you've got the memory effect combined with all of the other cognitive enhancing effects. So you might be more alert, you might be more vigilant, and you might pay more attention. So that means more of the material is going to get in to begin with. And then in addition to that, more of it will stay in. It'll exhibit less forgetting, so to speak.
What was the optimal dosage of caffeine in your study?
So we did a dose ranging study. We started out with 200 milligrams, and then we did a dose ranging and we tried 100, 200, and 300. And what we found was that at 100, we weren't getting the enhancement that we observed before. And at 300, we were getting the same enhancement that we got at 200, so there was no additional enhancement. But that was also the dose where people started to report some side effects like jitteriness, headaches, and some nausea.
200 milligrams. About how much coffee is that if you were taking your caffeine in coffee?
That's about the 16-ounce coffee that I'm having right now. That's about 200 milligrams. So each shot of espresso, for example, is about 80 milligrams.
So several shots of espresso.
Right. So maybe, you know, a little more than a grande latte or something like that.
We have been a little bit pro-caffeine in this conversation so far. You mentioned the jitters. There are some other negative side effects to caffeine. I guess we should mention those, too.
Sure. So in larger quantities, of course, caffeine is a psychostimulant like any other, so it will raise your heart rate. It can have some unfortunate sympathetic nervous system side effects, so it can really increase jitteriness and anxiety, and it can cause a lot of shakiness and things like that. Those are the kinds of symptoms that people report. And of course, they vary quite widely from individual to individual, so people's sensitivity to caffeine varies according to their metabolism, their body weight, even their gender.
Those side effects aside, obviously, I am a fan of coffee. Are you as well?
I certainly am, yes, and have been for many, many years.
What's your preferred beverage?
I would have to say that I've switched now to drip coffee. I used to be a more of an espresso person, but I'm enjoying the perks that drip coffee has to offer, especially in Southern California. We have little coffee shops dedicated to just roasting and brewing drip coffee, and it's just fantastic.
I hope you continue to enjoy them. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Nathan.
Dr. Michael Yassa is an assistant professor in the Department of Neurobiology and Behavior at University of California, Irvine. You can find more information at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. For Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast, I'm Nathan Sterner. Hold on to your mug and stay tuned. We'll be right back.